Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country, the place for American patriots to come together as one united people. Yes, it is time we come together. That's if we want to save this country. United we stand, divided we fall. Today is Monday, June 2nd, 2014, and if you'd like to join the discussion, please call in 347-857-4364. That's 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 to speak on the air. Otherwise, I do not interrupt you, and I just let you stay out there and listen. Tonight, I don't have anything really scheduled or any planned, but I'm going to talk about the Founding Fathers. I decided, well, actually, it's kind of a two-part thing. With so many things going on in our country and how we've become so divided, and if we don't figure a way to come together, we're not going to survive. There's just so many things that are broken in our country today. And do we have a chance to survive? Do we have a chance to save our country? At times, I just don't know. But then again, I do believe there's a very strong will, just as there was back when the American Revolution came about. And, you know, the people who created the American Revolution were not thought of highly by those who were in control and in power. So when I think when various public elected public servants and appointed, when they don't like what some of us are out here doing and saying, I truly take that as a compliment. It's because these people are the ones who are destroying this country. And before I get into the whole details with the Founding Fathers and get knee-deep into that part of it, so the thing about the EPA out there, and we'll use the EPA just as the example for the day of how broken the system is. There's all this talk about they're coming up with more regulations on coal and clean air and everything else, and I guess it's sad to think that most Americans don't seem to understand how wrong it is that a non-elected governmental agency like the EPA is writing laws. And this is happening across the board with unelected governmental agencies. They are not empowered to make laws, but they're doing it. And their attitude is that, you know, we're making the laws, and if you don't like it, we'll put you in jail. And this goes back to what happened out in Nevada on the Bundy Ranch. Bureau of Land Management controlling them. They were making the laws and the rules. And it's like, this is wrong. This is so wrong. And I think about these kind of things, and then I think about what the Founding Fathers wanted. This isn't what the Founding Fathers wanted. It's totally opposite. And yesterday I was listening to Mike Huckabee. They still call him governor. He's not a governor anymore, so I'm not going to call him governor. Mike Huckabee. And he said some stuff that was very close to what you've heard here, us talking about it for quite some time. And we were talking about it last year. And I openly said as part of my New Year's, not a New Year's resolution, but it's a time to seek the truth. I was saying for 2014 I wanted to do more to seek the truth and face the truth and would ask others to do the same. But time to stop lying about what's happening to this country. And we said we're not gonna avoid the C word, communism. Communism has arrived in America. That's the truth. Look around. Communist core, also known as Common Core Education, which is Common Core, is communism. Everything owned in common. Everybody is the same. We are all the commoners. That's what Common Core promotes. But in Mike Huckabee, his opening statement was really good because he was talking about his trip to China. But she's lucky enough to have enough money to afford to do. Most of us, I don't know that I want to go to China anytime soon anyway, but if you've got all sorts of money and you can afford to do all that stuff, yeah, to go over there and see a different culture like that would be interesting. But he kept saying China is looking more like what America used to be, and America's looking more like China. And how many times have we talked on this show, we said, don't call it China anymore, call it what it is, Communist China. Communist China, where they control the internet, and look what we have right here. They're trying to control it. They're trying to control all of communications, few people to own the whole communications. And across the board, our rights, EPA telling us where we can live, what they're going to do with our water types of things, what rights we have, our own land, what they're doing to destroy the farming. That was another part of the EPA thing that was going on. And it's so outrageous of what is happening. We have these agencies. And but going back to what Mike Huckabee was talking about, he was focusing that America was looking more communist every day. He stayed away, he said communism a couple of times, but he was careful to not say America's communist. He kept saying America's looking more like China. China's looking more like what we used to be. China is giving more freedom and rights to free enterprise kind of thing, while they still maintain control over the internet and communications and stuff like that. But the whole point is America's turning that way. And I just want to say it on the show here. Communism has arrived in America. Don't be afraid to say it. The more people will say that, the more we'll say, wait a minute, something's not right here. And when we say communism, look at these different agencies. Look at what the Department of Education is doing with Communist Core, also known as Common Core, EPA, what it's doing to energy, coal for one, what it's doing to the farmers with water, their so-called water management. Then we look at what's happening to the Veterans Administration. That's socialized medicine. We were supposed to take care of veterans who risked their lives for us, but that isn't what they're doing. They're saying, well, we'll decide who lives and who dies. You were in war, so, we'll just, And, of course, I contend that Obamacare is socialized medicine, and if you think what the VA is doing is bad, just wait until they see what they do to you and me. This is what they do for the veterans they claim to care about. What do you think they're going to do to the rest of us? Oh, and then people ramble about it being privatized and all this stuff. It's socialized medicine. And then we look at this isn't the communist per se, but it's the dictator of Obama. A dictator who negotiated, I guess they called it, releasing 5 Al-Qaeda terrorists for 1 American. Gosh, what a deal they got. This guy, I can't, either the current president or dictator, as I prefer to refer to him, truly is a dictator, and he's totally destroying this country intentionally, or he's extremely incompetent. You take your pick as to which one it is. I think it's some combination of both, maybe. But I think I don't believe he believes in America for a minute. I believe he is a Muslim who believes that the West should die. I've never thought he believed in this country. He can say whatever he wants to when he's out there in front of a microphone, but actions speak much louder than words. And the whole point is our country's dying, and we don't take any of the lessons from the Founding Fathers. And that's kind of where I thought I'd talk about the Founding Fathers tonight, go through some of their quotes, what their wisdom was, what they warned us about. And same time, I want to go ahead and put a plug in here. Charlie Klein, which many of you know, Charlie used to be on the show all the time, and he still calls in from time to time. Might call in tonight, who knows. He's out there working on a series of T-shirts that talk about the Founding Fathers and their quotes in the Constitution, getting back to what America really was about. Because right now, Common Core / Communism, Communist Core, isn't going to teach what the Founding Fathers really did. It's not going to talk about what really happened. It's not going to talk about the difference of freedom versus common when you're a commoner and everything is owned in common. You can never have everything equal. People will not be in equal, the exact same classes, unless you have communism, where you have a dictator who doles out how much money you're allowed to have and how you're allowed to live. And that's truly the beauty of America. You have the choice. Now, to say, you know, if you're born with a silver spoon, good for you. Plenty of people with a silver spoon seem to choke and gag and don't seem to do much with it, aren't able to take advantage of the opportunity they were given. Excuse me. While others who had nothing achieve greatness. They have the opportunity to work hard and move forward. But public education will definitely hamper that opportunity because it has turned into communism, the indoctrination, the limiting of the mind and training you as a peasant or a serf of the society versus empowering you to do more. It's doing everything. And so much of it is being done by those that are not even elected to public office. That is the sickest part of all. These are people who were not elected by... Now, granted, the election process is corrupt, and we'll talk about that some other night. We'll get into the details of that. But it's more to do with the fact that the people who are elected to represent us and to do the people's business have surrendered their rights and given their powers to people who weren't elected by us. And they don't have that right to do that. If they don't want to represent the people, they shouldn't run for office. But then they go and delegate their authority, surrender their authority to an unelected agency who literally is making laws. It's sick. It is totally anti-American. And you know what? For every one of these yahoos running for public office, and I don't care what office it is, starting from the top all the way down to your local governments, you need to tell them about that. You need to remind them that the elected are supposed to represent us, not all of their cronies, who they go in and give away their powers to, and then we are the ones who are stuck having to listen and be threatened by agencies such as EPA, Department of Education, Department of Energy, Bureau of Land Management. It's totally, absolutely un-American, and these people are treasonous for letting it happen. And that's another word I use nowadays, treason. Charlie Quine has been using treason for a long time. And at first I didn't say it because I knew people would be turned off by it. But I think it's obvious now. If you don't see the treason going all around you, you're not paying attention. And with that all being said, let's talk about the Founding Fathers. And again, if you'd like to join the discussion, please call in 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 to speak on the air. Otherwise, I do not notice you on the air. And hold on just 1 minute. I am back. Sorry, I'm multitasking tonight, once again. I'm doing a lot of multitasking. Anyway, as I was saying, Charlie Quine is working on a series of different T-shirts with different quotes from the Founding Fathers and different things to do with the Constitution. If you're interested in seeing which shirts he's coming up with, if you have suggestions for them, want to see or want to participate, want to buy some of them and sell them on your own or do whatever, send me an email. Send it to AmericanStatesman@1791.com, AmericanStatesman@1791.com, and I will pass on your information to Charlie, and he'll get with you. And, again, if you've got ideas on what to do for the T-shirts, please feel free to do it, to share that information with us. But the Founding Fathers, and there's many of them, won't have time to go over the whole thing, and maybe that's a whole show I really need to maybe do for a week, doing a two-part show, two-part series. where we really get into the Founding Fathers, because, again, you're not going to learn that. It's not being taught in public education, and we need to talk more about it. Of the top 10 Founding Fathers, who all of them were, what religion they were. There's so much that's said about religion these days, and I believe in freedom of religion, but I do believe the fact that we have taken on an attitude that no religion is the right religion, no faith, no guidance from a great creator. Whether you believe in Jesus per se, or again a god of some sort, a higher being, I don't think that has helped us in the long run. It makes people. It seems to make people think that they don't have. They can do whatever they want, and they and because of the nature of the beast of humans, just like we face today, total lawlessness. They're not going to be accountable. They're not accountable to anyone. There's no clear definition of right and wrong. And again, I think it's because we don't have this core faith. The fact that we don't believe in talking about God or Christianity in school. We can preach Islam. We can teach all about that, but we can't teach about Christianity and we can't teach about God. I recently got in trouble for saying Merry Christmas. Won't get into all the details about that, but this past year, right, you're not allowed to say Merry Christmas. You're supposed to say Happy December 25th. Just like you say Happy July 4th, you say Happy December 25th. Well, I say Merry Christmas and I say Happy Independence Day. I don't say the date, I say what it is. But the Founding Fathers, well, of course, who's the number one Founding Father? No real big guess here. Try George Washington. He has been considered the Founding Father. And for all the right reasons, I don't think I would love to see another George Washington today. At one point, I had hopes it was Ben Carson, but I'm not real sure about that anymore. His willingness to surrender the meaning of being an American by just legalizing all the illegals who broke the law by saying we don't have an immigration policy, which isn't true. We do, and there were definitely. Immigration was an issue to the Founding Fathers. That's why, in order to be the president, you are to be a natural-born American, which means you have to be born of American citizens here in America. It's a little bit more complicated when two Americans are fighting overseas someplace and they have a child overseas. That gets a little bit messier. Because they were Americans that were not on American soil. But in the case of like Marco Rubio, his parents were Cubans. He was American because he was born on American soil, but he's not American citizen, not a natural-born American citizen. He was born of Cubans. And immigration was very important to the Founding Fathers because they wanted to make sure you had total loyalty to this country. Divided loyalty won't survive. That's why we have to get away from all of this nonsense of divided nationalities. Are you an American or something else? American Latino? No, there is no such thing. African American? No, there is no such thing. Are you an American or are you an African? I don't care what color you are. Does that bother you? I truly don't care what color you are. If you're an American, be an American. And so the Founding Fathers were very understood this very much. And George Washington was our Founding Father. He was a member of the First Continental Congress. He was then chosen to lead the Continental Army. He was president of the Constitutional Convention and, of course, became the first president of the United States. He just was never a selfish person. He was doing it out of a sense of duty and obligation to the country, not because he was seeking power, fame, wealth, which is what the last few presidents have done. I mean, when you think about, it wasn't George Washington who came up and said, "Hey, I want you to build me a monument." It was the people who built it in honor of him. But today, it's all these presidents who go out there and build their own libraries. This is what I want my library to be. It's so disgusting. It's not because we thought so much of them. It's because they thought so much of themselves. And that's not what being a president's about. It's supposed to be about leading this country. But it hasn't been. It's not that anymore. And that's true with all public office. But the founding fathers were so different in that way. They gave up their wealth. They risked everything. And now it's just the other way around. They go up there and they will corrupt every form of power they can to gain more wealth and power for themselves. I mean, all you got to do is look at what these people in public office have done. Now, in this case, we're talking about the federal government. They have enriched themselves in so many ways. What would happen if Paul Ryan had to depend on the VA for his health care? What about good old Bonehead up there? Crybaby Boehner. What would happen to him if he had to depend on the Veterans Administration for his health care? What would happen to the president if that's where he and his family got their health care? The arrogance and the elitist of the Founding Fathers. The Founding Fathers sacrificed everything. And they shared so much wisdom in their quotes, in their words, and they warned us of so many things. As people know, I speak many times about George Washington, President Washington's farewell address, and how true it is. How the wisdom of what he said, the wisdom of what he warned us of, the wisdom of what we needed to be to survive as a free society, not to be divided. Amazing. And let's see, then we go down to John, and I'm looking, this particular list I'm looking at is about the top 10 founding fathers, and you can do a search on founding fathers and see this one with the top 10. Number two was John Adams. John Adams was an important figure in both the First and Second Continental Congress. He was on the committee to draft the Declaration of Independence. And he was central in the adoption of it because of his foresight. George Washington was named commander of the Continental Army at the Second Continental Congress. He was chosen to help negotiate the Treaty of Paris and officially ended the American Revolution. That officially ended the American Revolution. He later became the first vice president and then the second president of the United States. And again, we'll go into some of their quotes as we go on. Thomas Jefferson. When people ask you who's your favorite president, well, I have to go with the founding father, George Washington. The more you read and understand what he was as an individual and his true beliefs, his faith, he was a very religious person, and he was also a very giving person. And even through the history, people say, but he had slaves. You got to kind of think back at what was going on at that time. And his slaves were more like ranch hands. He never abused them. He didn't cut off their ears or do anything crazy like that. He had very much respect for them. That's everything when you learn more about what he was as an individual. I've been to Mount Vernon several times, and it's just a lot to know. There was just so much to George Washington. But Thomas Jefferson, again, when we talk about who you like the most, Thomas Jefferson, I refer to so much of what he said, what he wrote. He was definitely one of the most educated, I think, out there. An amazing insight. I mean, he warned us about term limits. He warned us about a central bank. And his joke, or whatever you want to call it, he's the one who said, never believe what you read in the newspaper except the ads. And we complain so much today about what's in the printed paper and what's in the media, news media altogether. But he frequently said, or made jokes in reference to, you can't believe what you read in the newspaper. The only thing that's true in the newspaper is the ads. Things to that effect. That's not the exact quote, but that was the gist of it. Thomas Jefferson, as a delegate to the Second Continental Congress, was chosen to be part of the Committee of Five that would draft the Declaration of Independence. He was unanimously picked to write the Declaration, He then sent to France as a diplomat after the Revolution and then returned to become the first vice president under John Adams and then the third president. And there's many quotes. One of, I'll go ahead, I have one of Jefferson's quotes handy here. I've got one of Washington's too. I've got plenty of them around here when it comes right down to it. But this one here that I think is really good, and this is one that Charlie's going to be working into a shirt. I have the consolation of having added nothing to my private fortune during my public service and of my retiring with hands as clean as when they came, as clean as they are empty, excuse me. And the whole point is, he was in public office for public service, not for public gain, public slash personal gain for himself. So he left just as wealthy or poor. His wealth didn't change from coming into office and leaving. Go take a look at the presidents of today. Do you think they're wealthier after they were in public office? Or, and this really it goes to all of them, look at not only the presidency, but our Congress, everybody in public office. They are wealthier when they leave than when they came. Makes you kind of wonder why, doesn't it? I mean, I know why. It's because they're a bunch of crooks. And they rip off, well, they do not serve the people, they serve themselves. Just as I was talking about with the health care. Look what they do for themselves for health care, and then look what they do to the veterans. Disgraceful. Number four is James Madison. And actually, James Madison has a lot of stuff out there. I tend to, when it comes to the quotes and stuff, I just seem to always gravitate more towards Jefferson and Washington, but Madison definitely has a lot of stuff out there. And Madison was known as the father of the Constitution, for he was responsible for writing much of it. Further, with John Jay and Alexander Hamilton, he was one of the authors of the Federalist Papers that helped persuade the states to accept the new Constitution. He was responsible for drafting the Bill of Rights that were added to the Constitution in 1791. He helped organize the new government and later became the fourth president of the United States. Number five, Benjamin Franklin. And we hear a lot about good old Benjamin Franklin out there, and of course he, one of his most famous quotes is in reference to those that give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty or safety. And some of his other quotes, he's got several quotes to that effect, and some say they will have neither. They will, you know, if you give up liberty for security, you deserve neither and you will have neither, those types of things. And that's something to think about today, too. People keep giving up their liberty, and they don't understand what that means. You don't get security by giving up liberty. You don't have security by giving up your gun, your right to bear arms. Totally the opposite. Franklin was considered the elder statesman by the time of the Revolution and later Constitutional Convention. He was a delegate to the Second Continental Congress. He was part of the Committee of Five that was to draft the Declaration of Independence and made corrections that Jefferson included in his final draft. Franklin was central to getting French aid during the American Revolution. He also helped with negotiating the Treaty of Paris that ended the war. Then we go to six, Samuel Adams. Samuel Adams, and when it comes to the quotes of Samuel Adams, I have to admit I don't have that many from him. But I'm sure he's got plenty of them out there too. Samuel Adams was a true revolutionary. He was one of the founders of the Sons of Liberty. His leadership helped organize the Boston Tea Party. He was a delegate to both the First and Second Continental Congress and fought for the Declaration of Independence. He also helped draft the Articles of Confederation. He helped write the Massachusetts Constitution and became its governor. And then seven, one we talk a lot about. Well, I shouldn't say I haven't talked as much about him on the show, but in the overall scheme of things, Thomas Paine. Was definitely one of the wisest out there. Thomas Paine was the author of the very important pamphlet called Common Sense. Wouldn't that be something now if we had a little bit of common sense? And that was published in 1776. He wrote a compelling argument for independence from Great Britain. His pamphlet convinced many colonists and founding fathers of the wisdom of an open rebellion against the British if necessary. Further, he published another pamphlet called The Crisis During the Revolutionary War that helped spur on the soldiers to fight. Very intelligent. Many quotes, many famous, the words of wisdom these people had, and how we have so lack of wisdom, lack of any kind of faith, lack of any courage in public office today. There's just no difference, or I should say there's so much difference of those in office today compared to these people. And then eight was Patrick Henry was a radical revolutionary who was unafraid to speak up against Great Britain at an early date. He was most famous for his speech, which includes the line, "Give me liberty or give me death." I say that all the time today. It's give me liberty or give me death, live free or die. If the true core American people do not still believe that today, then we've already been converted over to communism. If you do not believe give me liberty or give me death, you've already caved in. You've already sacrificed. You're not free. You've already been converted to a serf. And that's the truth. And then the other was, he was governor of Virginia during the Revolution. He also helped fight for the addition of the Bill of Rights Bill of Rights to the U.S. Constitution, a document which he disagreed because of its strong federal powers. And that's kind of interesting to think of, too. And the number nine is Alex Hamilton. Hamilton fought in the Revolutionary War. However, his true importance came about after the war when he was a huge proponent for the U.S. Constitution. He, along with John Jay and James Madison, wrote the Federalist Papers in an effort to secure support for the document. Once Washington was elected as the first president, Hamilton was made the first Secretary of Treasury. His plan for getting the new country on its feet economically was instrumental in forming a sound financial basis for the new republic. Now, do you believe there's anybody in the Treasury today that comes anywhere close to Alexander Hamilton? Don't think so. What do you think he would think of the IRS? Then number 10 is Governor Morris. Governor Morris was an accomplished statesman that ushered in the idea of a person being a citizen of the Union, not the individual state. He was part of the Second Continental Congress and as such helped provide legislative leadership to back up George Washington in his fight against the British. He signed the Articles of Confederation. He is credited with writing parts of the Constitution, including possibly its preamble. Okay, and that is the top 10. Now, I want to go ahead and get into a little bit of their religion and then their quotes. So let's see here. Let's go into some of the quotes first. If I can find that link I just had. Sorry for this little bit of a delay here. I'm going to talk about the religion of the Founding Fathers. And then, okay, this one is Founding Father quotes, Christian quotes, which I thought that was kind of interesting. Christian quotes from the Founding Fathers. And this, you can do a search on this, Christian quotes of the Founding Fathers. And I'm just reading this offline, going through it. George Washington, While we are zealously performing the duties of good citizens and soldiers, we certainly ought not to be inattentive to the higher duties of religion. To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian. This is in the writings of Washington. John Adams. Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their own law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts that there exhibited. Every member would be obliged in conscience to temperance, frugality, and industry, to justice, kindness, and charity towards his fellow men, and to piety, love, and reverence toward Almighty God. What a utopia! What a paradise would this region be! Adams was very religious, too. And there's a section here that makes reference to the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the only principles in which their beautiful assembly of young gentlemen could unite, and these principles only could be intended by them in their address or by men in my answer. And what were these general principles? I answered the general principles of Christianity, in which all of these sects were united. S-E-C-T-F, not the other, were united in the general principles of English and American liberty, in which all those young men united, in which had united all parties in America, in majority sufficient to assert and maintain her independence. Well, sex-like sectors. Okay. Let's see here. Adams was very religious. Let's see if he's got another one in here as well. The other thing, too, there's a lot of history between Adams and Jefferson where they were writing back and forth. I guess you could say they had a love-hate relationship. They didn't always agree, but they seemed to have very much respect for each other. The second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in American history. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade and shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end to the continent to the other from this time forward. That was Adams. Thomas Jefferson, third president, drafter, and signer of the Declaration of Independence. God, who gave us life, gave us liberty. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm base, a conviction of the minds of the people that these liberties are a gift of God? Are the gift of God? They are not to be violated, but with his wrath. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever, that a revolution of the wheel of fortune, isn't that interesting, wheel of fortune, a change of situation is among possible events, that it may become probable by supernatural influence. The Almighty has no attribute which can take side with us in that event. I am a real Christian. That is to say, a disciple from the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And that was Thomas Jefferson saying that. At times, Thomas Jefferson would seem almost agnostic. He would, and one of his quotes made reference to believe in God doesn't mean you don't question God, don't seek answers, when you don't understand what is the purpose, kind of thing. John Hancock, first signer of the Declaration of Independence. Resistance to tyranny becomes the Christian and social duty of each individual. Continue steadfast, and with a proper sense of your dependence on God, nobly defend those rights which heaven gave and no man ought to take from us. Benjamin Franklin, here is my creed. I believe in one God, the creator of the universe, that he governs it by his providence, that he ought to be worshipped. That the most acceptable service we render to him is in doing good to his other children. That the soul of man is immortal and will be treated with justice in another life, respecting its conduct in this one. These I take to be the fundamental points in all sound religion, and I regard them as you do in whatever sect I meet with them. As to Jesus of Nazareth, my opinion of whom you particularly desire, I think the system of morals and his religion, as he left them to us, is the best the world ever saw or is likely to see. But I apprehend it has received various corrupting changes, and I have, with most of the present dissenters in England, some doubts as to his divinity, though it is a question I do not dogmatize upon, having never studied it, and think it needless to busy myself with it now. When I expect soon an opportunity of knowing the truth with less trouble, I see no harm, however, in its being believed. If that belief has the good consequence, it probably has, of making his doctrines more respected and more observed, especially as I do not perceive that the Supreme takes it amiss by distinguishing the unbelievers in his government of the world with any particular marks of his displeasure. Interesting that they, it just helps you understand why we were founded as one nation under God. Why we are in God we trust. And yet today, there's so many who want to take that away. And that's not to say that people are perfect in any way, but moving towards some type of religious core principles, a way to distinguish right and wrong, good and evil. And just because someone preaches, and I mean, unfortunately, I've known too many Christian hypocrites. They weren't really Christians. They were wannabes, or I'll call them what they are, frauds, who would go around preaching as though, I mean, just because you can recite scripture doesn't mean you're a holy or a Christian person or a God-fearing person. Frequently, but in some cases, I've known people who could recite scripture quite nicely, and they would take their own interpretation, or just like we all do, and various interpretations of what things mean in the Bible, but yet in their day-to-day life, they would just soon stab you in the back and look at you. If stabbing you in the back would give them an extra $5, they'd do it. Doesn't that sound like those people in public office today? And those aren't Christians. Those are not God-fearing people. It's all performance. And there's this attitude that we seem to have just lost that core faith of what is right and wrong, what it means to be an American, what it means to be free, and the role of government in the defense of your rights to be an individual and a free individual. We have totally lost that. And it's only a matter of whether you believe it comes back to, is it all to do with Christianity? I don't know if it's all to do with it. And I say Christianity, I should say faith, whether for whatever type of God you believe in. And what I can't help but say, when I talk about God and the founding of this country, Allah was not part of that. Allah didn't believe in anything that the United States of America stood for. The Muslim faith doesn't believe in what America stands for. Many faiths do. Freedom of religion is important. But we cannot allow someone's right to be a Muslim to destroy Christianity or the belief in God or to destroy this country. Allah says destroy the United States of America? No. So we have a significant difference based on religion when it comes to that aspect of it. And we need to think about what that means, too. Samuel Adams, signer of the Declaration of Independence and father of the American Revolution. As it is our duty to extend our wishes to the happiness of the great family of man, I conceive that we cannot better express ourselves than by humbly supplicating the supreme ruler of the world, that the rod of tyrants may be broken into pieces and the oppressed made free again. The wars may cease in all the earth and that the confusions that they are and have been among nations may be overruled by promoting and speedily bringing on that holy and happy period which the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ may be everywhere established, and all people everywhere willingly bow to the scepter of him and his Prince of Peace. Very interesting. I find that just it, because we try to act like there was no religion in the founding of this country. Freedom, the difference of freedom of religion versus freedom from religion. And I find that this is what the founders believed. And you can't try to act like that didn't somehow empower them to create this free society. A society that's not very free anymore. A society that is halfway communist. I mean, we are so close to full-blown communism. Totally everything opposite of what these people believed in and what they fought for. James Madison, 4th president, a watchful eye must be kept on ourselves, lest while we are building ideal monuments of renown and bliss, here we neglect to have our names enrolled on the annals of heaven. Well, let's see here. And there seems to be a little bit of a question who originally wrote that. They've got a couple of different names of who originally wrote it. But you can see that on this page. James Monroe, 5th president. When we view the blessings with which our country has been favored, those which we now enjoy and the means which we possess of handing them down unimpaired to our latest posterity, our attention is irresistibly drawn to the source from whence they flow. Let us then unite in offering our most grateful acknowledgement for these blessings to the divine author of almighty, of all good. And John Quincy Adams, the hope of a Christian is inseparable from his faith. Whoever believes in the divine inspiration of Holy Scripture must hope that the religion of Jesus shall prevail throughout the earth. Never since the foundation of the world have the prospects of mankind been more encouraging to that hope than they appear to be at the present time. And may the associated distribution of the Bible proceed and prosper till the Lord shall have made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all of the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This is Isaiah 52:10. William Penn, founder of Pennsylvania. I do declare to the whole world that we believe the scriptures to contain the declaration of the mind and the will of God, and in those whose ages in which they were written, being given forth by the Holy Ghost, moving in the hearts of the holy men of God, that they ought also to read, believe, and fulfilled in our day, being used for reproof of instruction and instruction, that the man of God may be perfect. They are a declaration and testimony of heavenly things themselves, and as such, we carry high respect for them. We accept them as the words of God himself. And I think I'll stop there. There's a lot more in here. And the whole point is the founding fathers did believe in God. And as you could see, some were Christians. Some believed in God, questioning the role of Jesus. But the whole thing is they did believe in a great creator, a supreme being, who truly is what blessed this country and the one who controls what's right and wrong, good and evil. And that's what we must respect. If we don't believe there's a greater creator watching out what's going on here, then we lose sight of any kind of moral values, and killing someone's okay. And you kind of think of how we've been neutralized in some way to accept that, raping a woman's okay. I mean, we say it's not, but then we seem to be so numb to it. The same for the murders. The same for the corruption in public office. We know it's wrong. We know it's evil. We know it's not the will of God that these people go out there and destroy this country and seek wealth, greed, to enrich themselves at the expense of others. The founders were totally the opposite. They sacrificed their fortunes. Now I'm going to go look for my other quotes. Here we go. Founding Father quotes. There's, again, you can look out there for presidential quotes, Founding Father quotes. And I just find what the Founding Fathers said to just be so, so enlightening. They were so aware, and they tried to warn us. They tried to help us. But we chose not to pay attention. Somehow too many today think they were above what these founding fathers were. That was what they did past then, and that doesn't mean anything. Today's different. Well, yeah, obviously the world has changed. Electricity has changed. Air conditioning has changed. The automobile has changed. There's the mechanics of living on this planet that have changed, but not core values. Either you have them or you don't. And, I mean, when you talk like this, they say, well, so you believed in slavery? No. And that's a silly comparison to try to say that. But if you somehow compare freeing slaves to all this other stuff that's going on now, I think you're missing the point, too. So, in other words, freeing the slaves somehow means these people in public office have the right to steal from us? They have the right to tell us not to use the water on the land to grow food? the water from a creek that feeds people, because they say they're protecting either a turtle or a fish or something, when in fact most of that's been proven to not be true, that they're lying. These kind of core beliefs have changed for the wrong. The core beliefs that the founders had were right, and we need to get back to that. And let's see if I can find some of their quotes out here. Okay, this is from Alexander Hamilton. There is a certain enthusiasm and liberty that makes human nature rise above itself in acts of bravery and heroism. Liberty is motivating. Liberty breathes life into people. It's when you go and say no, you're going to go stand on the corner and that's all you're going to do. You're not going to be allowed to come out of that corner. We'll throw a biscuit to you once in a while and that's going to be it. You're not allowed to come out of that corner and explore and learn and create. You're going to stay in that corner. Amazing power, but liberty, true liberty. But the question is, how much liberty do we still have these days? They've taken away so much from us, and they've brainwashed the kids in school. Let's see here. Looking for... Thomas Paine. I want to see what some of his are. I haven't read his lately. Founding Father quotes from Thomas Paine. My computer is acting up just a little bit here. Sorry about that. Sorry about the delay. Okay. Thomas Paine, The Rights of Man, and then, of course, Common Sense. Okay. A little matter will move a party, but it must be something greater that moves a nation. Isn't that interesting to think about? A little matter will move a party, but it must be something great that moves a nation. Think of that when you think about political parties. A nation under a well-regulated government should permit none to remain uninstructed to its monarchical and government only that requires ignorance for its support. And today I'm getting tongue-twisted, so I'm not even going to try that again. I don't know what it is. Some days I just can't talk. But that kind of destroyed that quote. I have to try to edit that one out. As parents, we have no joy knowing that this government is not sufficiently lasting to ensure anything which we may bequeath to our posterity. And by a plain method of argument, as we are running the next generation into debt, we ought to do the work of, otherwise we use them meanly and pitifully. In order to discover the line of our own duty rightly, we should take our children in our hand and fix our station a few years farther into life. That imminence will present a prospect which a few present fears and prejudices conceal from our sight. Isn't that interesting? What we will do to the next generation. We are running the next generation into debt. Freedom has hunted around the globe. Freedom has been hunted around the globe. Reason was considered as rebellion, and the slavery of fear had made men afraid to think. But such is the irresistible nature of truth that all it asks and all it wants is the liberty of appearing. He that would make his own liberty secure must guard even his enemy from oppression. For if he violates this duty, he establishes a precedent for that will reach to himself. And that is so interesting when you appreciate what that means. And so what is our role in helping others to be free? We need to guard our own freedom, which right now we're not doing. We're surrendering our freedom all the time. And what should our role be to help others be free? And if we don't help others be free, what happens to us? It's a very interesting thing, especially when you talk about foreign affairs. Because George Washington, President Washington, was telling us to be good neighbors to all, to be the example, to set the standard, if you will, but not to go out there and be controlling or to try to take over countries. He didn't believe in that. We should treat all neighbor countries equal. We should be good neighbors to all. If there must be trouble, let it be in my day that my child may have peace. You know, this is back in 1776. That is so genuine, and we still truly believe that today. But the way we live doesn't really seem to reflect that, even though we say it. We say we always want better for that next generation. Yet look at what we're doing to this country. We've done everything to destroy it. We've done everything to promote some kind of civil unrest. We haven't done a whole lot to save it so that my child may have peace. I don't think we've done a good job of that. And these quotes I'm reading right now are all from Thomas Paine. If from the more wretched parts of the old world we look at those who are in the advanced stage of improvement, we still find the greedy hand of government thrusting itself into every corner and crevice of industry and grasping the spoil of the multitude. Invention is continually exercised to furnish new pretenses for revenues and taxation. It watches prosperity as it prays and permits none to escape without tribute. That's interesting. I think I might have to read that one again. I have to admit, I don't ever remember reading that one. Some of these I remember, but that one I do not remember. Okay. And this is out of his book, Rights of Man. Okay. If from the more wretched parts of the old world, we look at those which we are in the advanced stage of improvement, we still find the greedy hand of government thrusting itself into every corner and crevice of industry and grasping the spoil of the multitude. Invention is continually exercised to furnish new pretenses for revenues and taxation. It watches prosperity as it prays and permits none to escape without tribute. That is so interesting when you think about what has happened and what continues to happen today, taking away the invention. Take anything that you would do, whatever industry could create, they figure a way to capitalize on it from a form of taxation and control. In the madness of folly, to expect mercy from those who have refused to do justice, and even mercy where conquest is the object, it's only a trick of war. The cunning of the fox is as murderous as the violence of the wolf. It is the madness of folly to expect any mercy from those who have refused to do justice, and even mercy where conquest is the object. It's only a trick of war. The cunning of the fox is as murderous as the violence of the wolf. Interesting. Not all the treasures of the world, so far as I believe, could have induced me to support an offensive war, for I think it murder. But if a thief breaks into my house, burns and destroys my property, and kills or threatens to kill me or those that are in it, and to bind me in all cases whatsoever, to this absolute will, I am to suffer it? Question mark. So don't go out there and start wars, but be willing to defend yourself. Right now, we don't defend ourselves. We go out there pretending to defend the world while we're destroying this country. That's my saying, not his. Now is the seed time of continental union, favor, and honor. The least fracture now will be like a name engraved with the point of a pen on the tender rind of a young oak. The wound would enlarge with the tree. The posterity read it in full-grown characters. Common sense. Society in every state is a blessing, but government, even in the best state, but is a necessary evil. In its worst state, an intolerable one, for when we suffer or are exposed to the same miseries by a government, which we might expect a country without government, our calamity is heightened by reflecting that we furnish the means by which we suffer. We furnish the means by which we suffer. Society in every state is a blessing, but government, even in its best state, is but a necessary evil. In its worst state, an intolerable one, for when we suffer or are exposed to the same miseries by a government, which we might expect a country without government. Our calamity is heightened by reflecting that we furnished the means by which we suffer. That one's really good with what I think of what's happening today. We have furnished the means by which we suffer. And every American needs to understand that. This could not happen without us letting it happen. The people are the sovereign government. Most Americans truly don't understand what that even means. Okay, the cause of America is in a great measure the cause of all mankind. Okay, the cause of America is in a great measure the cause of all mankind, people seeking to be free. The Grecians and Romans were strongly possessed of the spirit of liberty, but not the principle. For at that time, they were determined not to be slaves themselves. They employed their powers to enslave the rest of mankind. And again, when you think about how history repeats itself, the fall of the Roman Empire, what's happening to us? The Grecians and Romans were strongly possessed by the spirit of liberty, but not the principle. It's an interesting way to think of it. For at the time, they were determined not to be slaves themselves. They employed their power to enslave the rest of mankind. Very interesting. And that was in the American crisis. The Reformation was preceded by the discovery of America, as if the Almighty graciously meant to open a sanctuary to the persecuted in future years, when home should afford neither friendship nor safety. America is supposed to be the land of opportunity, the land of liberty. We're just not there anymore. I just don't know if God can keep blessing what we're doing these days. I really don't know. The sun never shined on a cause of greater worth. Well, that was interesting. Let's go back and read. And obviously, Thomas Paine was a very insightful and amazing person. Let's see here. Let's see. Trying to see which one. Well, let's go with Patrick Henry and see what we got from him out there. We know some of them. My machine would not be so slow. And again, this website, Founding Father, www.foundingfatherquotes.com. You can read the ones that I totally messed up on. Okay, this one's kind of a long one. It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war actually begun. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the fields. Why we stand here idle? What is it the gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is it life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but for me, give me liberty or give me death. Of course, most of us always think of the give me liberty or give me death, but it's really the whole thing. This book is worth all the books that ever were printed, and it has been my misfortune that I never found time to read it with the proper attention, and failing till lately, I trust in the mercy of heaven that it's not too late. This is all the inheritance I give to my dear family. The religion of Christ will give them one which will make them rich indeed. And again, you see religion, faith in what the Founding Fathers believed, genuinely believed who their rights came from. The rights did not come from Washington, D.C. The liberties of a people never were, nor ever will be, secure when the transaction of their rulers may be concealed from them. Think about that and what's happening today. The liberties of a people never were nor ever will be secure when the transactions of their rulers may be concealed from them. See, rulers, not representatives, rulers. And do we have rulers today or do we have representation? Are we a republic? Or some type of, well, wouldn't even call it, everybody wants to call it a democracy. But we're not a republic anymore. We just don't have, I don't know, I don't think we're a republic anymore. Okay, guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect everyone who approaches that jewel. Guard with jealous attention the public liberty, suspect everyone who approaches that jewel. Guard with jealous attention to the public liberty. Suspect everyone who approaches that jewel. Guard with jealous attention to the public. That's repeated. I'm not sure if that's the way it was said, but it's repeated. Suspect everyone who approaches that jewel. Not sure why that's in there like that, but okay. We are at last brought to such humiliating and debasing degradation that we cannot be trusted with arms for our defense. Second Amendment. Are we at last to such humiliating and debasing degradation that we cannot be trusted with arms for our defense? Sounds familiar to me. I have now disposed of all of my property to my family. There is one more thing I wish I could give them, and that is the Christian religion. If they had that, and I had not given them one shilling, they would have been rich. If they had not been that, I had given them all the world, they would be poor. Excuse me. Again, Patrick Henry was a very religious person, truly believing in faith, and that it the whole thing of faith is it helps you identify right and wrong, and also to understand that there is a greater purpose for all of this. And I'll be the first to admit there's times when I am totally confused because I keep seeing evildoers getting away with stuff. I don't understand how evildoers continue to profit from their crimes, their sins, but they do. And I keep saying it's got to evolve at some point and be corrected. The Constitution is not an instrument for the government to restrain the people. It's an instrument for the people to restrain the government. That is a lesson that is never taught in public school. The Constitution is not an instrument for the government to restrain the people. It is an instrument for the people to restrain the government. Period. Let's see who we'll go to next. Kind of interesting in all this information. They show some founding fathers with no quotes per se. Let's see. Yeah, we'll go back to John Adams. He's got 61 out there. Let's take a look at some of his. We've only touched on a few of them. And I read one of them earlier. Let's see. And I apologize for the delay. I really do have to get a new computer. And again, if you're interested in joining the discussion, you're more than welcome to press the 1. And let me know that you want to participate. If you know of any quotes from the Founding Fathers that you happen to like and believe, please feel free to share them. Okay, I'm back over here at John Adams. Each individual of the society has a right to be protected by it in the enjoyment of his life, liberty, and property. Property. Notice the word property. Life, liberty, and property, according to standing laws. He is obliged, consequently, to contribute his share to the expense of this protection and to give his personal service or an equivalent when necessary. But no part of the property of any individual can be with justice, be taken from him or applied to public use without his own consent or that of the representative body of the people. And fine, the people of this commonwealth are not controllable by any other laws than those in which their constitutional representative body have given their consent. They understood the meaning of private property. You can't have liberty without property. And that is one of their quotes in here someplace. I believe it was John Adams, but I'm not sure. Every measure of prudence therefore ought to be assumed for the eventual total extirpation of slavery from the United States. I have throughout my whole life held the practice of slavery in abhorrence. Abhorrence, excuse me. Okay. Letter to Evans, June of 1819. Children should be educated and instructed principles of freedom. That's defense of the constitutions. Children should be educated and instructed in the principles of freedom. Lord only knows that's not happening. But what do we mean by the American Revolution? Do we mean the American War? The Revolution was effected before the war commenced. The Revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people, a change in their religious sentiments of their duties and obligation. This radical change in principles, opinions, sentiments, and affection of the people was the real American Revolution. And you know what? We need a second American Revolution. Thinking of strictly in those terms. But what do we mean by the American Revolution? Do we mean the American War? The Revolution was effected before the war commenced. The Revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people, a change in their religious sentiments of their duties and obligations. This radical change in the principal opinions, sentiments, and affections of the people was the real American Revolution. As long as property exists, it will accumulate in individuals and families. As long as marriage exists, knowledge, property, and influence will accumulate in families. That's kind of interesting to think of. As long as property exists, it will accumulate in individuals and families. As long as marriage exists, knowledge, property, and influence will accumulate in families. Think about that. A good government is an empire of laws. How shall your laws be made? In a large society inhabiting an extensive country, it is impossible that the whole should assemble to make laws. The first necessary step, then, is to debut power from the many to the few of the most wise and good. Now, that by itself is kind of interesting, too, when you think about power from the many to a few of the most wise and good. Wise and good. Well, what I see in public office today is not wise and is not good. A constitution founded on these principles introduces knowledge among the people and inspires them with a conscious dignity. Becoming freemen, a general emulation takes place, which causes good humor, sociability, good manners, good morals to be general. That elevation of sentiment inspired by such a government makes the common people brave and enterprising. That ambition which is inspired by it makes them sober, industrious, and frugal. A constitution founded on these principles introduces knowledge among the people and inspires them with a conscious dignity, becoming freemen. A general emulation takes place, which causes good humor, sociability, good manners, and good morals to be general. That elevation of sentiment inspired by such a government it makes the common people brave and enterprising. That ambition which is inspired by it makes them sober, industrious, and frugal. And again, these are John Adams' quotes I'm reading right now. This is one of the more scary ones that I've read of his. But a constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty, once lost, is lost forever. But a constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. liberty once lost is lost forever. Now, I understand what the quote is saying and don't totally disagree with it, but it was through the American Revolution that we gained liberty to begin with. So I don't want to believe that we can't regain the liberty, but it's much more difficult. Once you get addicted to that free phone, somehow to go back and be on your own, have the freedom to go do your own thing, is much more difficult. Facts are stubborn things, and whatever may be our wishes, our inclination, or the dictates of our passion, they cannot alter the state of facts and evidence. This is in defense of British soldiers on trial for the Boston Massacre. And again, they cannot alter the facts, the state of facts and evidence. Fear is the foundation of most governments, but it is so sordid and brutal, a passion, and renders men in whose breasts it predominates so stupid and miserable that Americans will not be likely to approve of any political institution which is founded on it. That's kind of interesting. Fear of the foundation of most governments, but it is so sordid and brutal, a passion, and renders men in whose breasts it predominates so stupid and miserable that Americans will not likely to approve of any political institution which is founded on it. It's just kind of funny when you think about the problems and the trials we have of getting anything approved. Government is instituted for the common good, for the protection, safety, prosperity, and happiness of the people, and not for profit, honor, or private interest of any man, family, or class of men. Therefore, the people alone have an incontestable, unalienable, and indefensible right to institute government and to reform, alter, or totally change the same when their protection, safety, and prosperity and happiness require it. There we are. This is the difference. People don't understand what the common good means versus that government's not for your profit or your honor or your private interest. That's not what government is for. It's for the protection, safety, prosperity, and happiness of the people, not for profit, honor, or private interest of any man, family, or class of men. And again, it makes you realize what we've become. His example is now complete, and it will teach wisdom and virtue to the magistrates, children, and men. Citizens and men. Ask me how I got children. I got citizens and men. Not only in the present age, but for future generations, as long as our history shall be read. His example is now complete. It will teach wisdom and virtue to magistrates, citizens, and men, not only in the present age, but in future generations, as long as our history shall be read. See, we're not teaching history anymore, so we're not reading history. Think about what that means for that. Human government is more or less perfect as it approaches nearer or diverges farther from the imitation of this perfect plan of divine and moral government. Human nature itself is evermore an advocate for liberty. There is also a human nature, a resentment of injury and indignation against wrong, a love of truth, and a veneration of virtue. The inimical passions are the latent spark. If the people are capable of understanding, seeing, and feeling the differences between true and false, right and wrong, virtue and vice, to what better principles can the friends of mankind apply than to the sense of these differences? Now, this was to Abigail Adams. I have accepted a seat in the Massachusetts House of Representatives and therefore have consented to my own ruin, to your ruin, to the ruin of our children. I give you this warning that you may prepare your mind for your fate. Do just a couple more of John Adams and then we'll flip over to possibly Jefferson. Like I say, I seem to gravitate to the Washington, Jefferson, and Adams when it comes to these kind of things. They just have so much information, so much wisdom in what they said. I pray heaven to bestow the best of blessings on this house and all that shall hereafter inhabit it. May none but honest and wise men ever rule under this roof. Wouldn't that be nice? I must study politics and war that my sons may have liberty to study mathematics and philosophy. My sons ought to study mathematics and philosophy, geography, natural history, and naval architecture and navigation, commerce, and agriculture, in order to give their children a right to study painting, poetry, music, architecture, statuary, tapestry, and porcelain. And this is a letter to Abigail. Okay, now this is one of the letters, I guess, to Jefferson, or comments about Jefferson. To Jefferson concerning the drafting of the Declaration. I think he, Jefferson, had one more vote than any other, and that placed him at the head of the committee. I had the next highest number, and that placed me second. The committee met, discussed the subject of the Declaration of Independence, and then appointed Mr. Jefferson and me to make the draft. I suppose because we were the two first on the list, the subcommittee met. Jefferson proposed to make me the draft Adams, Adams, I will not. Jefferson, you should do it. Adams, no. Oh, no. Jefferson, why will you not? You ought to do it. Adams, I will not. Jefferson, why? Adam, reasons enough. Jefferson, what can be your reasons? Funny. Like I said, they had some weird love-hate relationship there. They seemed to respect each other, but they seemed to fight a lot. If men through fear, fraud, or mistake should in terms renounce and give up any essential natural right, the eternal law of reason and the great end of society would absolutely vacate such renunciation and the right to freedom being the gift of God Almighty. It is not the power of man to alienate this gift and voluntarily become a slave. Rights of the colonists. Okay. If there is a form of government whose principles and foundation is virtue, will not every sober man acknowledge it better calculated to promote the general happiness than any other form? Didn't look like Adams was a big drinker. It already appears that there must be in every society of men superiors and inferiors, because God has laid in the Constitution the course of nature for the foundation of distinction. It has ever been my hobby horse to see rising in America an empire of liberty and the prospect of 200 or 300 millions of free men without one noble or or one king among them. If you say it's impossible, if I should agree with you in this, I would still say, let us try the experiment and preserve our equality as long as we can. A better system of education for the common people might preserve them long from such artificial inequalities as are prejudicial to society by confounding the natural distinction of right and wrong, virtue and vice. Knowing this was an experiment to see whether people could live up to it. Let's see what else here. It is the duty of all men in society, publicly and at stated season, to worship the Supreme Being, the great creator and preserver of the universe, and no subject shall be hurt, molested, or restrained in his person, liberty, or estate for worshiping God in the manner most agreeable to the dictates of his own conscience or for his religious profession or sentiments, provided he doth not disturb the public peace or obstruct others in their religious worship. See, that's what freedom of religion truly means. And that's where we have the problem when it comes to Islam, because it doesn't believe other religions should exist. Part of its doctrine is to destroy Christians and Jews and anything outside of its religion. The infidels. Okay, let's see. See if there's anything else in here. It should be your care, therefore, It should be your care, therefore, and mine to elevate the minds of our children, to exalt their courage, to accelerate and animate their industry and activity, to excite in them an habitual contempt of meanness, adherence of injustice and inhumanity, and an ambition to excel in every capacity, facility, and virtue. If we suffer their minds to grovel and creep in infancy, they will grovel all their lives. Okay. It should be your care, therefore, and mine, to elevate the minds of our children and exalt their courage, to accelerate and animate their industry and activity, to excite in them an habitual contempt of meanness, aberrance and injustice, can't read tonight, injustice, and inhumanity, and an ambition to excel in every capacity, facility, and virtue. If we suffer their minds to grovel and to creep in infancy, they will grovel all their lives. That's very telling to me. Laws for the liberal education of the youth, especially of the lower class of the people, are so extremely wise and useful that to a humane and generous mind, no expense for this purpose should be thought extravagant. That's interesting. I wonder what he would think of education today. Let justice be done through the heavens shall fall. Let me try reading this again. I do think I've been reading too long tonight. Let justice be done, though the heavens should fall. Okay, I'm going to let this one be the last one for here. Liberty cannot be preserved without a general knowledge among the people, who have a right from the frame of their nature to knowledge as their great creator, who does nothing in vain, has given them understanding and a desire to know. But besides this, they have a right and an indisputable, unalienable, indefensible divine right to that most dreaded and envied kind of knowledge, I mean, of the character and conduct of their rulers. Now, isn't that so true? The knowledge we need is the true character, the knowledge of the character and conduct of their rulers, the House of Congress, and, of course, the White House, everybody in public office. Now, here they're calling them rulers, and that's really more like what they are. They don't seem to represent us today. Definitely go back to George Washington. I want to see if I can find a couple of his really good ones in reference to his faith, religion, and society. It says here he was Episcopalian. I just know I've seen many different pictures of him praying. Okay, let's see here. George Washington. A primary object should be the education of our youth in the science of government. In a republic, what species of knowledge can be equally important? And what duty more pressing than communicating it to those who are to be the future guardians of the liberties of this country? So true. Government is not the reason. It's not elegance. It is a force. Like fire, it is dangerous. It is a dangerous servant and a fearsome master. To be prepared for war is one of the most effectual means of preserving peace. Isn't that what Reagan was quite fond of? To folly in one nation to look for disinterested favors from another, that it must pay with a portion of its independence for whatever it may accept under that character, that by such acceptance it may place itself in the condition of having given equivalence for nominal favors, and yet being reproached with ingratitude for not giving more. There can be no greater error than to expect or to calculate upon real favors from nation to nation. This is an illusion which experience must cure, which a just pride ought to discard. And again, this was part of his farewell address. His farewell address has so much information in it. It's just unbelievable to me that every time I read it, I seem to find something else in it. These are quotes, but they're specific quotes from his farewell address. 'Tis our true policy to steer clear of permanent alliances with any portion of the foreign world. Steer clear of permanent alliances with any portion of the foreign world. Be friends of all. That's in one of the other parts of it. Who see and will pursue their advantages may achieve almost anything. Against the insidious wiles of a foreign influence, I conjure you to believe me, fellow citizens, the jealousy of a free people ought to be constantly awake, since history and experience prove that foreign influence is one of the most baneful foes of a republican government. And again, that is so real to what we are facing today. Against the insidious wiles of foreign influence, I conjure you to believe me, fellow citizens. The jealousy of a free people ought to be constantly awake, since history and experience prove that foreign influence is one of the most baneful foes of a Republican government. We have the proof right here. What he said was true. What he said was correct. And we have proven it. And you will, by the dignity of your conduct, afford occasions for prosperity to say, when speaking of this glorious example you have exhibited to mankind, had this day been wanting, the world had never seen the last stage of a perfection to which human nature is capable of attaining. And this was part of his Newburgh address. Okay. Arbitrary power is most easily established on the ruins of liberty abused. If we are to be told by a foreign power what we shall do and what we shall not do, we have independence yet to seek, and to have contended hitherto for very little. We're almost done here with the hour, or 2 hours, I should say. Almost to the end of the show here. Let's see. This one, part of it is not clear. I'll have to see if I can. Can make out what some of this says in here. Looks like there's some garbage on the screen here. Can you then consent to be the only sufferers by this revolution, and retiring from the field, grow old in poverty, wretchedness, and contempt? Can you consent to wade through the vile mire of dependency and owe the miserable remnants of that life to charity which has hitherto been spent in honor? If you can... something, and carry with you the jest of Torres and scorn of Whigs, the ridicule and, what is worse, the pity of the world. Go starve and be forgotten. Now, this was a letter to the officers of the army. Citizens by birth or choice of a common country, that country has the right to concentrate your affections. The name American, which belongs to you in your national capacity, must always exalt the just pride of patriotism more than any appellation derived from local discrimination. And I'm going to leave it on that one, because that is really, we need to remember what it means to be Americans. Citizen by birth or choice of a common country, that country has a right to concentrate your affections. The name of American, which belongs to you in your national capacity, must always exalt the just pride of patriotism more than the appellation derived from local discriminations. You should be proud to be an American. Your loyalty to your country is required. If you are not loyal and you do not believe in this country, you should seek another country. Being American should be something that you're proud of. Must always exalt the pride of patriotism. Name of American, which belongs to you in your national capacity, must always exalt the just pride of patriotism. And when I look around today, and I say, I am definitely proud to be an American, and I am a patriot. However, when I look around at what has happened to my country, I get frustrated. I don't believe that enough people concentrate their affections for their country, and that is going to destroy us. And on that note, I would ask that please think about what the country was founded on. Please think what it means to be an American. Please stop dividing us as a people. United we can stand. Divided we surely fall. We cannot survive divided. And the political will, the political establishment, and I don't care what side of the aisle you are on, the political establishment has determined that we're going to be divided. We're going to segregate, divide and segregate every which way we can. Those who claim to be the uniters are the most bigger dividers. If you think of yourself as something other than an American, you're allowing them to divide us. Doesn't matter where you came from. If you truly, genuinely believe that you're an American, you should be an American. If you're something else, you should go someplace else. Be an American, embrace being an American, or go someplace else. Do not let them take your vote as something different. You are an American. Don't let them treat you differently. Treat all Americans equal. You can't treat people equal if you divide us. And George Washington was very much on that line as well. His farewell address speaks quite a bit to that very thought. Anyway, on that note, please tune in to Thursday's show. Not sure what we're going to be covering yet, but we'll be there. And may God bless and protect the USA. Good night, everyone.